All right, so this morning, this is the final part of the grown-up version of the VBS lessons. The VBS curriculum was an epic journey through Proverbs, so it's all about wisdom. 3 weeks ago, we looked at what is wisdom and how do we get it. Wisdom could be defined as skill for living and avoiding self-inflicted problems by making good use of your knowledge. And the Bible tells us that true wisdom, true knowledge starts with the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And of course, the fear of the Lord is a proper perspective on how great he is and how small and dependent on him we are in comparison. That starts with salvation, recognizing that the only way we're going to get to heaven is trusting in Jesus Christ as our Savior, and it continues throughout the Christian life. 2 weeks ago, we looked at controlling the tongue. One of the main proverbs for that was Proverbs 18:22. That said, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Last week, we looked at the idea of living with diligence and self-discipline instead of being a sluggard. And that was Proverbs 6:6 and following, where it starts, "Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise." Well, today we're going to look at who we spend our time with. And our proverb to start with is Proverbs 13:20. And Proverbs 13:20 says, "Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm." The people that we choose as friends and companions have a huge impact on our life. Now, 2 weeks ago, when we were talking about how we use our words, we talked about speaking to everyone with kindness and gentleness and respect, that sharing the love of God as part of a genuine friendship is far more profitable than just winning an argument with a random stranger. Today, we're not talking about that more casual friendship. Today, we're talking about close friendship. I mean, Jesus himself spent quite a bit of time sharing meals and conversations with people that society in general regarded as the worst possible sinners. But Jesus' closest companionship was with his disciples. And what we're talking about today is our close friendships, our companions, our role models, the ones that we spend a lot of our time with, the ones who we decide, who, you know, when you're together, they're the ones who decide what you're going to do for the day, the ones who we choose to work with to accomplish something. The ones that you share your problems with in hope of getting good advice in return. The one whose conversations shape how you view life and the universe and everything. That kind of close companionship. And I have a couple illustrations to start out with of how the people that you spend time with, the people who are your companions, shape you. And the first is a negative example. It starts with three women whose lives were drastically affected by a certain man that they met in 1967. The first of these women is named Mary Bruner. All three of these women were fairly normal people. She was a graduate of University of Wisconsin, assistant librarian at Berkeley when she met this guy. The next one is Patricia Krenwinkel. She studied at Catholic University. She briefly taught Sunday school at one point, apparently. She seriously considered becoming a nun. The third one is Lynette Fromm, a talented and popular child, was part of a touring singing dancing group. I see a few of you nodding, you know who these people are. By 1975, all three of these women were in jail. Mary for participating in a shootout with police, Patricia for involvement in several very gruesome murders, and Lynette for attempting to assassinate the president. The man who all three of these women met and who became kind of their leader was this guy. In case you don't recognize him, that's Charles Manson. These were the first three members of the Manson family, a group of people who all came under the influence of this criminal and leader of a commune who inspired his group known as the Manson family to various violent crimes. A lot of the people in the group were pretty normal people growing up, pretty average lives. And when they came under the influence of this man, things took a drastic turn for the worse. Maybe an extreme example, but an example of how our companions shape who we are and where we end up in life. A more positive example of wise people helping people become wise starts with a certain young woman with a very hard life. Her parents split when she was about 10 years old. Throughout her childhood, over the next few years, she suffered from poverty and neglect and abuse. By the time she was 13, she pretty much wore black all the time and, in her own words, hated all men and most women. And then at the age of 14, she met the Swope family. And Ross Swope was the pastor of a small local church. And he and his wife and his family showed this young lady what it was like to be part of a loving Christian family by including her in pretty much whatever they were doing. Soon this young lady was best friends with Pastor Swope's daughter, participating in church regularly, and began to grow spiritually. And over time, the angry, bitter teen became a godly young lady with a gift for teaching. And she eventually went off to Bible college, which is where I met her. Fell in love and we've been married for 15 years. I'm very thankful every day for Pastor Swope and his family and the influence that they've had on the life of Karen, my wife. She was headed down a very bad path. And they came alongside her and showed her what it was like to be a wise, godly person. So who we spend time with is hugely important in the direction that we take. And throughout the book of Proverbs, Solomon tells us about the kind of people that we should avoid as companions. And a lot of times the flip side of that, what a good friend is like. And in chapter 18, verse 24, this is a verse that's kind of hard to translate from Hebrew into English. This is probably the best rendering. This one's from the ESV. It says, "A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." The idea that, oh, there's no strangers, everyone's equally my friend, does not create a safe environment for you or your family. Yes, you should be kind and respectful to everyone and friendly to everyone, but not everyone should be your close friend. There are people who should not have a strong influence in the life or the life of your family. A good friend, however, can be closer, can be even more involved in your life than even a brother or sister. But a good friend has to be chosen wisely. And today what we have are two broad categories of the kind of companions and close friends that should be avoided. And the first category of bad companions is those who would encourage you to do sinful or foolish things. And you know, this seems fairly obvious. Someone who actively encourages you to participate in their own sinful behavior with them is not someone who should be a part of your life. And depending on the level of pressure that this person puts on you, it might be the kind of person that you need to entirely avoid, or at least avoid spending time alone with them. And it's especially important if that person is connected with an old sinful lifestyle or habit that you have that you struggle with, and they're going to be trying to pull you back into that. Avoid spending time with that person, especially alone with them. Jesus taught his followers to pray, "Lead us not into temptation." When we choose to unnecessarily place ourselves in a situation where there is strong pressure to sin, that is basically defying God's moral will. That is placing ourselves needlessly into temptation, which we are supposed to be praying to avoid. Solomon gives us in Proverbs a couple examples of the kinds of people that this is talking about. In Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 through 15, it says, "My son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, 'Come along with us,' let us lie in wait for innocent blood. Let's ambush some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit. We'll get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Cast lots with us. We'll all share the loot. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths." Solomon uses the example of not going into business, if you want to call it that, with people who plan to make easy money in a way that harms others. Probably having in mind things like bandits or robbers or even swindlers and con men. Basically, don't join dishonest or violent or otherwise law-breaking people on their path in life, even if it seems like it's going to give you enjoyment of the good life for the moment. Again, we see in the New Testament, Jesus publicly feasting with dishonest tax collectors on a pretty regular basis. But we don't see Jesus climbing up into the tax booth with them and helping them fleece the people passing by. We don't see Jesus going to the back room with them and helping them cook the books so they can pocket a little bit more. We are not to participate in the sins of the people that we spend time with. Another example of the kind of person that Solomon talks about quite a bit, as in this is the kind of person to avoid having close friendship, having companionship with, is the adulterous woman or the seducer. And he always phrases it as the woman being the seducer because he's addressing his son. But it goes both ways too. Women avoid male seducers. And just as one example, Proverbs 2 verses 16 through 19 says, "Wisdom will save you also from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. Surely her house leads down to death and her paths to the spirit of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life." God designed the sexual relationship to be enjoyed within marriage. If you want a couple of verses to look up on that later, Hebrews 13:4, 1 Corinthians 7:1-5. But anyone who tries to pressure or seduce you into anything else, into any kind of sexual relationship outside of marriage, is leading you to destruction, is not someone that is looking out for your best interest. Solomon, in the book of Proverbs, likes to use pretty graphic word pictures sometimes, and here is one of his descriptions of a seducer. This is Proverbs 7, verses 21 through 23. It says, "With persuasive words, she leads him astray. She seduces him with her smooth talk. All at once, he follows her, like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose till an arrow pierces his liver. Like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life." God designed the sexual relationship so he knows how it's supposed to be used. And those who pressure you to use it in any other way are leading you to destruction, are leading you to problems in your life. A person who acts romantically toward you when either of you is married to someone else is a person that should not be a part of your life. A person that you should most certainly never spend any time alone with. Sexual temptation is very strong and can escalate very quickly. A person who's your companion, a person who's your friend, should not be a person that encourages you to sin, whether it's to break the law, whether it's to enter into sexual immorality, whether it's any other thing that God says, don't do this. A person who encourages you, do this, come on, it'll be fun, it'll be nice, there'll be benefits from it, is not your friend, is not a companion, is not a person that you should spend time with, especially not time alone. Rather than pulling you off track, a good friend is going to let you know when you're headed in the wrong direction. Over in Proverbs 27:6, we read, "Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses." A good friend is going to tell you when you're headed in a bad direction. Hopefully they'll do it gently and kindly as possible, but they're going to tell you when you're heading in the wrong direction, even if it's going to hurt your feelings a bit at the moment. A good friend does not pull you astray. A good friend helps you stay on the path. Well, there's a second category of people who are bad companions, bad close friends, and that is people who display ungodly thoughts and attitudes on a regular basis. You know, these are the people who don't necessarily directly pressure you to join them in sin, but their basic standard of right and wrong is very different from God's. Solomon talks about them in Proverbs 2, verses 12 through 15. He says, "Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who have left the straight path to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways." The word used in this verse, perverse or perverted, it's more than sexual deviance. You know, that's how we tend to use the word today. But it has the idea of anything being crooked or warped or unnatural. Again, the idea of having a standard for right and wrong, for acceptable behavior, that's very different than what God's standard is. The things that these kind of people say and do are guided by their own sinful desires, their own devious reasoning. They may be able to justify what they do to themselves in their own mind, but it flies in the face of God's principles, of God's commands for how we're supposed to live our life. the commands and principles of God's word to this kind of people are basically ignored in favor of whatever I feel is going to make me feel good at the moment, and I can get away with it. And this can include not only people that we spend time with in person, but the people and messages that we listen to regularly through books or movies or music or video games or whatever form of media is trying to give us a message. Because really, much of what is put out there by people in the entertainment industry glorifies and encourages sinful behavior, or at the very least treats it as something that's normal and amusing. I read a book once on Charles Manson, and when someone asked him how he got his followers to do the things that they did, and his answer, and I couldn't find the direct quote, but his answer was that when someone hears something often enough, over and over again, they'll start acting on it as if it's true, whether they have consciously chosen to believe that it's true or not. What you spend a lot of your time listening to, whether from someone you're talking to face-to-face or through media or entertainment or whatever, is going to affect how you think about life, which is going to affect your actions. As a personal example of this, I had a job in college where I was a shipping clerk, so I was back out of the main storefront, and we had a radio back there. We could listen to whatever we wanted to, and for a while I listened to talk radio like five, six hours a day. And if you listen to talk radio, at least some of those guys, it is a constant stream of anger and disillusionment and sarcasm. And the world is just this horrible, horrible place, and everything's going wrong. And after a while, I realized I was starting to get a really negative view of the world. And that's not good, because I'm already kind of a glass half empty person. And so after all, I realized, you know, I don't need this in my life. I don't need to be listening to this every day for 4 or 5 hours a day. It's starting to rub off on me. The people that we spend time around, whether it's in person or through media, the way they act rubs off on us. Solomon gives an illustration in Proverbs 22, verses 24 through 25. He says, "Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared." Your friends, even if they're not directly pressuring you to sin, if they live a constantly sinful life, if they display constantly ungodly attitudes, it's going to rub off. That kind of person is not a person that you need to spend a lot of time around. And another danger of spending a lot of time around people who openly defy God's way of living is that we can get caught up in the negative consequences of their sins, even if we ourselves aren't participating in them. I mean, who hasn't heard a story of someone being seriously harmed or killed because they got in the car with someone who was driving drunk, even though they themselves weren't drinking? Or because they were at a party where drugs and booze were flowing, even though they themselves weren't participating, things got out of hand. Sin has consequences. And when we choose to be a companion to someone who is living a sinful lifestyle, those consequences can affect us as well. Our closest companions, the people that we choose to spend the most time with, need to be people who are going to help us to be wise. Proverbs 13:20, again, what we started with: walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. And Proverbs, a fool is someone who does not acknowledge the ways of God, someone who chooses to live however they please, regardless of instruction. Proverbs 27:17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." Our closest companions, the people we spend a lot of time with, need to be people who help us become sharper, who help us become wiser and better, like steel sharpening steel, like iron sharpening iron. When we need advice, we should seek it from people who are wise, never forgetting that wisdom starts with the fear of the Lord. A person whose life is built merely on whatever seems to work for them, with little reliance on or knowledge of God's word, is not a wise person. Is not a person that we need to go to for advice. Hebrews 10, verses 24 through 25 reminds us. It says that let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. These verses remind us that spending time gathered with other believers, with those who share our faith, with other people who fear the Lord, is an important part of spiritual growth, an important part of encouragement to keep being faithful. It's an important part of becoming a wise person and of having opportunities to serve God. And that gathering together, the word that's used is, especially has the idea of gathering together, you know, formally like in a church building, but it also includes spending time together outside of this building, outside of the church building, spending time as a community of believers. You know, there's plenty of other things that the book of Proverbs says about friends and companions, who we choose to spend our time with, who we choose to learn from. So if you want an assignment this week, go look through Proverbs, see what you can find. But as we think about these ones that we've looked at today, about avoiding close companionship with people who encourage you to sin, about avoiding close companionship with people whose lifestyles and attitudes are consistently ungodly, think about the major influences in your own life. Whether it's, you know, friends you meet with in person or the media that you allow, that you take in, music, entertainment, so forth. Think about, are there changes that you need to make to help you grow in wisdom rather than being dragged to destruction? Are there friends that you need to spend less time with and not spend any time alone with? Are there books, games, movies, or music that you need, that are feeding into your mind, things that need to be replaced with a more godly message? Do you need to make it a higher priority to spend time with other God-fearing believers here at church or throughout the week? If you can think of ways that you need to become a companion of wise people, to walk with the wise, ask someone to help you make those changes. Ask someone wise to help you make those changes. You can come and talk to me afterwards, talk to a family member, another brother or sister in Christ. Ask God for the strength to follow through. And then, as we looked at a couple weeks ago, exercise diligence and self-discipline to actually make the changes, not just think about making them. To change your life so that you are walking with the wise rather than being a companion of fools who will suffer destruction along with them. Let's close in prayer.